Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time date is that you are listening, folks. Thank
folks,
you very,
very, thank you very much.
If you're listening, wait, I almost just said if you're listening to this, okay. The date today is the 28th of June, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bunny Cardigan Show, presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards, the third of The Athletic. James, we've had a few days for the draft to kind of come and go. We've had some days to digest it. You and everybody got to meet Jaden Ivey, meet Jalen Duren, hear Troy Weaver's thoughts, hear Dwayne Casey's thoughts. As we've had a few days to marinate on this, you've actually written a story. I'll give you the floor to promote that now.
Which one?
The one that we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about today.
Yeah, sorry. I thought you meant draft related. Yes. So as I reported.
Yeah, I guess that could be confusing. Yeah.
As I reported during the draft, I get the sense that the Pistons are not going to throw a max contract at one of the big restricted free agents. Of course, that could change. Troy is a bit unpredictable, so you never know. But I've gotten the sense that the Pistons are going to round out the rest of the roster with quality veteran role players and maybe like a spot starter or whatever. But I don't think there's going to be the Miles Bridges, DeAndre Aytons of the world. Could be wrong, but that's just what I've been told throughout the last 5 days. I have a list of names that I think could be of interest to Detroit. It's a mix of athleticism and shooting. And wings, it's pretty much all a whole wing list with all centered around shooting. So check that out. We're going to actually go through these names here on the podcast, and I want to get Nick's initial thoughts to if these guys are on his basketball team. Oh, and also I also reported in the story and on Twitter before then that it is by the time you hear this, the decisions will be made. Because they have until June 28th to do it. But Detroit is likely to pick up Hamidou's team option and not likely to pick up Frank Jackson's team option.
Now, with the Frank Jackson thing, because obviously this one's pretty sad. I think it's going to bum a lot of people out. Definitely bums me out. Frank Jackson, fashion
you
icon.
You did a 180 on him.
That was probably Troy's biggest. Also, I have the AC going in this episode. So if you are able to hear that in the background, I apologize. Don't know if it's going to pick up. Oh, and I want to say this. We had some syncing issues that came up in not the last episode, but like a week ago's episode. Spent like 45 minutes in post trying to fix it. Hopefully that doesn't become an issue today because it was kind of noticeable in the last episode and it was frustrating me. So if that is an issue, bear with us. We'll fix it eventually. But anyways, Frank Jackson, all league fits, I believe, 2 years in a row. I think he was I don't remember if he was first or second team.
I think he was third team.
I don't think they do three teams for
second team.
Okay. That's what I was going to say anyways. Anyways, Frank Jackson has definitely been Troy Weaver's biggest W for me because, yeah, there wasn't a player who I detested more in Frank Jackson than when I was like, hey, stop making him play point guard. The guy's not a point guard. And then once they did that, and then he let the hair go out too. Remember to end last season. And Frank Jackson became
Corbin Blue.
Yep. Frank Jackson became like my favorite basketball player. Best, my favorite reclamation project. Not that he needed to be reclaimed, but I'm assuming there's some sort of a hybrid here between. Well, I don't really get Detroit's angle on this, because you can say that they want to bring in more veterans, but all that I'm seeing right now, and this is kind of my only concern so far, is you know, obviously we still have, you know, plenty of time between now and when the regular season actually starts in terms of who we can actually add on the roster. But looking at the existing pool of players that we can pull from and the guys that we have on our team, I'm kind of worried that Detroit is going to be kind of a terrible three-point shooting team next year.
Possible.
So letting Frank go from the Pistons angle, I don't really get. From Frank's angle, I kind of get it, though.
I would say as much as I enjoyed covering Frank and the moments of cooking with hot grease that he had at times, those stretches. I would also argue that if you want the Pistons to get a add 3-point shooting, I'm not necessarily sure that Frank gets the job done. We all like the idea of Frank, and when he gets hot, he gets hot. But if you go look at those numbers, shot 30% last year.
Yeah, but
and he was injured. He was injured.
Yes.
And then the year before, he shot good, but the track record's not favorable. And there are, if this poor free agency class has anything, it has some pretty good shooters.
I think the ones that Detroit is going to be looking at, and I think the ones that we might end up talking about today, is that to me, they all kind of fit in the same vein of like, you really hope that they're having a good day. Cause unless your name is Brent Forbes.
Shooters though.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I know, but. But when you're looking at a guy like Gary Harris, who when you're shooting 37% from three, it's like, okay, so sometimes you're going to be that guy, but other like this feels like a really consistent stretch of free agent signings that Pistons have had with 3-and-D guys, where it's like, I know that the blanket statement of your hope they're having a good day, that's not what I mean. I just mean that the streakiness that all these guys have, excluding like Bryn Forbes, who you hope you can get, but even then, I don't really know why he would come to a team like Detroit. But I didn't really understand why he went back to San Antonio last year. So anything
from
is
Michigan.
Well, right, and I get that, but it's like I just mean the principle of, hey, you proved yourself to be a really key piece on a championship-winning team, and then that summer you went back to San Antonio. So like, I just don't really get what Bryn Forbes' vibes are and like what he's trying to do.
Bryn Forbes wants to collect checks. He has not made more than $4.5 million in his six-year career in a season. And my guess is that Spurs money was the most he can get. So he got the ring.
Yeah.
Let me go get paid a little bit.
What do you want to give him? Like,
I'm a
6'2 million?
Shooter that don't play defense. Let me go get this bag while it lasts.
I tell you what, I was telling you the other day that I was rewatching.
And he fights on defense. He's just too small. He's not like a it's not like it's Harden where he doesn't give a shit. He tries.
He got killed in that Nets series. Remember that? But also remember in that first in that Miami series of the championship run when he outscored Jimmy Butler. Remember that? That was a real thing that happened.
Bryn.
Lansing Sexton's finest.
Sneakily one of my favorite Spartans of the last.
I was letting you know that on
10 years.
On draft day, like 2 hours before the draft, I was rewatching, what was it, 2015, Michigan State versus Louisville. Bryn Forbes, Travis Trice.
Aaron Harris?
Yeah.
That was pre-Aaron Harris.
You're talking about, well, you're mixing up two players. Aaron Henry and Gary Harris are two different players.
No, you don't remember Aaron Harris?
I don't remember Aaron Harris. Oh, yes.
He was supposed to be the man and never was the man. And then he had a very devastating injury.
Yes.
I hope he's well. I don't know what he's up to, but I hope he's well.
And then I texted you about Marvin Clark, and you were like, we're 2 hours away from the draft and you're texting me about Marvin Clark. I think it was because my text was like, what if Keegan Murray is just Marvin Clark? I'm pretty sure that's what my text was.
You do a lot of sick behavior, but that was amongst that's amongst the top of them.
My favorite
watching Marvin Clark Jr. highlights before the draft.
My favorite thing from that broadcast was when they quoted Montrezl Harrell before the game, and he was talking shit about Brandon Dawson. And he's like, yeah, Brandon Dawson's not going to out-hustle me. Facts.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Facts. They had a little feud going that week. Where were we? We want to talk about upcoming Pistons free agents. I think people, I will say this, just to piggyback off of the last pod that we had, the post-draft one, where we sort of expressed the sentiments that everyone's feeling and this general excitement that's in the air and this palpable energy that we're feeling from Pistons fans has only resumed over the past few days. People are still ecstatic. People are still on top of the world. Also helped that the Pistons were kind enough to gift Jaden Ivey the jerseys of every single one of his family members for the respective teams that they played for in Detroit over the last like 40 years. And then overcome with emotion.
Cool,
yes, very,
it was
very cool.
Arn's touch on the Philly connection to Detroit with Durin was pretty cool too. Talking about Rasheed and Rip.
Yeah.
And Chuck Daly. Yeah, there's a long lineage of very good Philadelphian Pistons.
And Jalen Durin. You know what? Can I tell you what the most.
Do you say Durin or Durin? I need to learn what it is.
So I'm pretty sure it is Durin, but I say Durin. I say Durin.
Okay. I like Durin more, but I think I say Durin.
I will wait to hear what George says. Which I don't know if that's...
I wouldn't go off that.
Yeah, you're right. Wouldn't, but yes. What I'm just now realizing in real time, it's funny to me. So after that little press conference ended, Jalen would not give up. He wouldn't let go of his jersey. He was just walking around with his jersey. Someone was like, hey, I can hold that. He's like, no, I'm good. What's funny is that he's wearing number 0. I think it was like 3 months ago. I was like, I like Jalen Durin. I want him on my basketball team. And by the way, I was saying this about drafting him at 5. I was saying this if he was the only player that you came away with.
If Ivy didn't fall, have I said that on the pod?
Maybe, but go ahead.
If Ivy didn't drop to 5, I think there was a real chance the Pistons just took Durin at 7. Or at 5.
Oof.
Hey, if you think he's the best player, you take him.
No,
like,
100%.
What was his range? 5 to... 12, like,
I mean, he went 13, so 5 to 13.
Yeah, 5 to 13.
5
yeah.
to 15, maybe.
Like, if you think he's the best player, I get it. Like, yeah, but I think that was a real possibility.
That would have been pretty, but what I had said was if I hadn't just done the Andre Drummond thing for 8 years, then I would be totally on board with that being the only player that you came away with. But instead, you also got Jaden Ivey to go with it, so I'm 1,000,000% on board with it, and I love it.
Who's also wearing 23.
Who's also wearing 23, so we got both of those right. Blake. Pretty sure we predicted that he was going to wear 23. Not that it was really that hard to deduce it. That's what he wore at Purdue.
I don't think we ever did jersey number predictions.
We did in the last episode. We said, what is he going to wear? And then you did the bit about how the Pistons have too many retired jersey numbers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and
they haven't retired Blake's yet.
That's
for
right.
that 2018-2019 season. So as we head into free agency, we're just under – when does it officially start this year? Are we back to –
Thursday.
We are back to July 1st?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yes, July 1st. 6 p.m. is when unofficial terms can be agreed upon.
So, by the next episode, we will hopefully have... How many new guys are going to be on the team a week from today, do you think? Two,
yep. And then they'll have a offer sheet on three. I think two plus Bagley.
Well, new players.
I've been told Bagley's coming back. Like, unless somebody just... A team just throws a ridiculous amount of money at Marvin Bagley...
Which we have Bagley, more than them.
Bagley is coming back.
We have more than anybody, so.
Right, but I don't know if Detroit has a number. I'd imagine there is. I just wonder if like a team will just fuck around with Detroit. I want to stop. My mom said we've been cussing a little too much lately, and I just accidentally dropped the F-bomb. So I'm trying to – no more F-words. I apologize to anybody listening.
Sorry, Mama Edwards.
In case a team messes around and just messes with Detroit. Yeah, so – Let's before we get into some names and I get your opinion on some of these guys, I'm trying to think of how many roster spots does Detroit need to fill via free agency and trade? Like, I think they're going to add some veterans via trade, too. They have the cap space. I wouldn't be opposed if they thought, like, adding Evan Fournier, taking his kind of gross deal and getting another first-round pick from the Knicks. Like, I think Evan Fournier would be a very helpful player. I think he has 3 years, but the third year is a team option. Like, I think Evan Fournier's fine, but I guess that eats up a good amount of cash. I think he's $25 million a year. That's a little bit too much.
But. Well, do you think there's redundancy then with having him and Corey Joseph on the same basketball team? Just because, I mean, they would more or less have the same role, would they not? So it's like you already have Corey Joseph.
I mean, Evan Fournier is better.
He's objectively better.
Yeah, yeah.
But sure. I wouldn't be opposed to something like that. The one thing I think with all this money, it's like, okay, well, if you're not going to go get Miles Bridges, if you're not going to go get DeAndre Ayton, it's like, sure, maybe the smart thing to do would be to let at the very least, a majority of that money roll over into next summer, which is kind of the camp that I'm in, even though it would mean that we have a boring off season, so to speak, I mean, we still have a lot of things to be excited about. I think that there is a lot of novelty in waiting until next summer when your dudes are even more ready and you have still probably more money than anybody else. But if they are to do anything, I think the one thing that I would prefer that thing is to eat a bad trade.
Eat a bad contract. Pick or young player or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it would be picks because they got too many young players.
Can really quick before we get into your little thing, non-Pistons related, I didn't realize the DeJounte Murray to Atlanta thing wasn't a goof.
So I asked a couple people about that today. It sounds like to me, because I was confused, like I thought I missed something.
Right.
Like,
that's why I'm asking.
Was there a dust up between the Spurs and Murray? Right. Like I've been out of like the non-Pistons loop for a couple weeks now. And I think it's just teams. I think there's a price for Murray. Like every player has a price, and teams are trying to like meet the price. But it seems like something is going on.
Right.
It seems like they are more willing to give him up than it is just taking calls. But we'll find out. I don't know. I think it's weird.
Well, it's that. And then I'm also confused. Can players tweet jersey swaps now? Because I don't know if you saw what KD did. I'm sorry, what Dame did.
Yeah, I don't. I think there's probably a fine coming his way.
But did DeJounte get in trouble for the Zach LaVine thing?
I think he did.
Did he? Okay. Okay. Well, then there we go. I'm just like, what's going on? This league.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, you know what it is. It's hypothetical. I know people get pissed. The Spurs called you and said, you can work something out for Murray if Ivy's involved.
It's an all-star guard.
Young. Just say yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is just hypothetical, by the way. Like, I'm not insinuating that this has been proposed. It might have been. I don't know. DeJounte Murray's really good.
Is DeJounte Murray one of Jaden Ivey's best case scenarios in terms of who he could be? Get what I'm saying?
Oh, you're ecstatic if Jaden Ivey's DeJounte Murray.
There you go. Or you can just have DeJounte Murray. So if that was
you'll have to pay DeJounte sooner.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, the point is to be good if you're getting a good player.
Get an all-star guard, get a jump on the – yeah, I do that in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Yeah. I say in a heartbeat. It took me a few seconds there to mull it over.
It took you like – yeah. You look like one of those Looney Tune characters the way your heart was pounding. All right. Let's go through some names.
Yeah.
I'm going to read off. And eventually I want you to rank them. One, I think I have five or six names. Okay?
Okay.
Start with Bryn Forbes, we already talked about a little bit. It's a good alternative to Frank. Doesn't have the athleticism Frank has. Even more undersized than Frank is at 6'2". But you can make the case he's the best three-point shooter in this entire free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Career 41.3%. Never made more than, I think, $4.5 million in his career, despite being a great shooter.
Yep.
So I'd imagine if maybe the Pistons, maybe they go up to 6 or 7 on a two-year deal or just to lure him. What are your thoughts on Bryn Forbes kind of replacing the Frank Jackson secondary, tertiary, quadrupiary guard?
I would say that Bryn Forbes is probably the only very clear upgrade that you might be able to do this summer in free agency.
I would say, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Unless we'll talk about maybe there's a name that I'm not thinking of and you're going to say it and I'm going to, right.
He'll be third on this.
Okay. So right now for me, Bryn Forbes, I think if you're just looking at it in the super linear, you lost Frank Jackson and you got Bryn Forbes. I just think you just got objectively better. Just because, like I said, the one concern that if I'm a Pistons fan, I'm looking at this roster and what it could end up being like. I'm looking at three-point shooting as a genuine concern. Bryn Forbes is somebody who immediately alleviates a lot of the anxiety that I would feel about that.
Next one on the list, a wing. Otto Porter Jr. had a good finals run, had some big buckets, played some big minutes. Yep. Only 29. Lost some of his athleticism over the years, but he's gotten a bit wiser, more versatile, can play either forward spot. This I didn't realize until I, like, really dug into it. Like, I knew for his career, he's been a good shooter, but I didn't know he was basically a career 40% three-point shooter. 39.8.
That would track.
Low maintenance offensive weapon. Wouldn't feel bad if he had to, like, fill in for Sadiq because Sadiq got a cold or something. I don't think the Warriors are going to be able to afford him. They got too much money going on. They got to get Gary Payton.
Yeah.
He played on a vet minimum last year. I'd imagine it cost more than that. But checks veteran box, checks efficient box, checks three-point shooting box, and a
pretty good
bit
dude too.
From all accounts, yeah.
Yeah. Otto Porter Jr. to me has always been kind of one of those sneaky Swiss Army knife guys.
Yeah. You know? Just got miscasted as a number three pick.
Yeah. You know, he can get buckets. He can rebound pretty well because his wingspan is insane. Super lengthy guy. Like you said, he did lose some athleticism. Decent passer. Fine passer.
Good basketball player.
Yeah. I think he's just sort of like a dull Swiss Army knife.
I like that. But I didn't know he shot 40% from three for his career. Like, I would have guessed off the top of my head, like, 36. 40 is good. Next one. This is the one I think would be another clear upgrade. But, again, the track record, it's better than Frank's, but it's still streaky. Mr. Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Checks the shooting and athleticism box. A bit undersized, skinny, as we all know. Last season, he played on a vet minimum deal despite being 24. Knocked down 39.1% of his threes. Knocked down 40% the year before that. Would be the go-to scorer off the bench. A little versatile, shoots three, can get his own bucket. What do you think about Mr. Malik Monk?
I said in a few episodes ago that the only two players that were able to play with LeBron last year were Austin Reeves and Stanley Johnson. I would throw Malik Monk into the mix. And
yeah,
I think he was pretty much the only thing that went right last year with the Lakers pretty much at all in terms of the new guys that they brought in. And I think we all loved it when it happened. I give him a lot of credit because his first few years in Charlotte, his three ball was like just bad. Yep, terrible. He's picked it up since then. I think the Lakers was a nice little, I don't want to say a fresh start for him because he was kind of, you know, raked over the coals a few times there. If you just want a bona fide bucket getter, yeah, I'm on board with that. But this is kind of what I was going into earlier with the streakiness, where there's just a consistent.
You worry a little bit if the last 2 years you didn't start. Yeah, I get it.
And then you worry about him going back to one of those teams that, you know, doesn't have the. Well, I don't know. I feel like Cade, even though he's only in year two, I feel like he's, you know, he's pretty strong in that leadership role. So,
I don't think Malik has ever shot worse than like 34%, which is already an upgrade.
Are you talking about from three or from the field?
From three, yes.
Shot like 26 or 27% from three.
He had one, yeah. So his rookie year, 34%. His sophomore year, 33%. His 30 or 28.4%.
There it is, 28, 40, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, so that's bad.
You know.
Could be. I mean, I would point that one more towards anomaly.
You're taking a gamble, but I think it's a marginal one either way.
Yeah.
So, sure.
I agree.
Clear upgrade, right, though, I would push back on that, but I think it would be fine.
That's fair. This is the one I want to talk about a little bit because I think the response I've gotten to this is him as a bench player, and I'm not sure this would be the case, and we've talked about him a little bit. You're not as excited about this, surprisingly, given that we have ties to this young man.
I don't know who this is. Okay.
Gary Harris.
Ah.
Solid veteran who carries some of the intangibles Detroit covets. Good defender who could take some pressure off of Cade on that end of the floor defensively. I think that's an underrated thing. Like, I think if you can get somebody that can guard other teams' best players, that helps Cade. Been a streaky three-point shooter his career, but made over 38% on five attempts last year. Only 27. Could be a case for, like, a nice stopgap starter. Maybe a prove-it deal, even though he had a decent year last year.
Orlando,
I think he could be a solid starter, a good or overqualified bench player. Get him like on a 2 year deal, 2 for 24 or something like that. What do you think about Gary? Because I would start him. I would, at least to start the year, I would go Cade, Gary to take that pressure off of Cade defensively. Because otherwise, if you start Cade, Ivy, player, Sadiq, like, Cade's going to have to guard the best perimeter player every night.
Yeah, so. The only major redeeming thing that I don't need any convincing on in the Gary Harris conversation is his defense. And I wouldn't even call him a 3-and-D guy, though, because admittedly, I checked his percentages over his career.
Very streaky.
Sure, they're a little bit better than maybe what I thought they were, but for a majority of his career, he's shooting, what, like 33%. So,
and a lot of those, and not to, I think he's had injuries, too. Like, I think he had a shoulder injury. But it's part of the story. Yes, fair.
So That's just another guy where I think you're bringing somebody in that, you know, it's kind of on the margins. I think from a veteran standpoint, he's played on teams that, you know, have won basketball games. He's played with some pretty high level players. I'd say he's played with, what, 2.5 really high level players, the half being Michael Porter Jr., because I still don't really know what we're going
to. And Jeremy Grant.
I'll give it a full 3 then. I will give him half for Michael Porter Jr. and Jeremy Grant. You're right. I already forgot about that. So,
and Jamal Murray.
Well, he's one.
And Nikola Jokic.
Right, and he's the other one. Right, yeah.
Oh, two. Oh, my math's off.
Right, so it's Jokic, Jamal Murray, Jeremy Grant is half, and Michael Porter Jr. is half. You know, he's played for.
Don't forget about Lenis Klaza.
Did he play with Campazzo for like. He played with
Campazzo. Lenis Klaza was from like 2006. I was just trying to think of the most random nugget I could think of.
It's one of those things that it.
You're against it simply because of the streakiness of the three-point shooting.
I don't think he can score.
At all. Cutting is a good cutter.
Well, I don't mean that. Okay. I don't mean that he can't score, period. I don't mean that. Again, this just goes back to my overall point of if I'm a team that's worried about if we will or will not be able to make 10 threes in a single game, I don't know that Gary Harris is the basket that I'm putting all my eggs in. I don't believe it.
I get it. If Gary cost you only $5 million or $6 million a year, you would probably be for it.
Deal.
But if it's like 10 to 12.
When you said 2 for 24, I don't like that. No. But he's not going to come here if it's not that. So there's value in it. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you never know. All right. Interesting. When I first pitched that to you, I was thinking I would get more.
It's just not. Just cause
did he kiss your girlfriend?
It's not even the Michigan. Like, I loved him at Michigan State. Loved him.
We had a class together my senior year. It was a basketball class. It was hooped. I've thrown Gary Harris a lob. Yeah.
Is that the jumpy guy that you want to give Cade? No. I
got enough of those now.
I would. Here's a take. Ooh, do I mean this? Do I mean this, though? I need to say it to figure out if I need to mean it, okay?
Talk to me nice.
Would I rather give Miles Bridges $170 million over giving Gary Harris 24.
You're sick.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
I don't think I mean that.
Let's talk about Bridges for a second before we get to the last two players. You know me.
Flintstone.
Love Miles Bridges. Flint. Michigan State. People are acting like we're talking about I don't even know who. Like, with all due respect, he cooled down over the end of the year. Miles Bridges is a good player.
Yes.
The Charlotte Hornets last year, who will be better than the Detroit Pistons this year, did not make the playoffs. So for people that think like Miles is going to come here and this is a play-in team, no. The Charlotte Hornets last year were better than the Pistons will be this year.
Here's some good news for you. I have warmed, or rather cooled on that front. Ask me how many games I think we're going to win next year.
How many?
30.
It's improvement.
Seven-game improvement, I think.
Yeah, 7 or 8. With a younger team, too. This team will be younger.
So if we had to get somebody from Michigan State, ooh, you can have one Michigan State player for free in the league. You're picking Jaren Jackson, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, have to, I think.
All right, and my other Miles Bridges point that this is my thinking. This is not thinking of the organization. This is not something I've heard. This is just my thinking. Miles Bridges is a good kid. We know some of the same people. I followed him at State. Like, he was at Bible – like, at his core, he's a good kid.
Yeah.
However, he obviously likes to take part. He likes music. He likes to rap. He has a song with Big Sean and Babytron coming out, which I guarantee he'll have the best verse on.
Yep.
He likes to mix purple lemonade in his cup with, and there's nothing wrong with smoking. It's, I don't smoke, but it's legal. It's whatever. But to take that photo is not very smart, especially when you're in a quote unquote quantity beer. Listen, if I were running the Detroit Pistons, I would be a little worried that Miles coming home would lead to some issues because he's very preoccupied in Charlotte. I would be worried that there's like a Mateen Cleave situation where Miles comes back home and he's around all his people. I would think about that before I gave a guy anywhere near close to a max. That's just me talking. And I think Miles is a good human being, a good kid. Well, I think he's brought up well, but he clearly is still young and clearly has other interests, and it's clearly something he has no problem flaunting around. And if he's going to be home around his people with the most money he's ever had in his life, I would be a little bit hesitant. That's just me. I've not heard that worry from anybody in Detroit. They could have it. They might not. I haven't heard that. This is just me thinking as somebody who loves Miles Bridges.
Is it the same thing, genuinely asking, didn't happen with Josh, but is the argument there that Josh had gone through, I'm not going to call it rehab, but whatever we're going to call it, the little program that Memphis put him through, he kind of had.
I would also say we don't know how Josh spent his free time. We don't know that, and he's not going to be making $27 million a year.
Is it not the very point that we don't know what Josh was doing? Which means he was doing a good job.
Player, did he come to play every day?
Yeah, he did. He called Ben Simmons a bitch, and it was great, and we loved it.
He did do that. I would just have that hesitation. So, all right, you ready to continue with
this?
Yes,
let's keep going.
Do you think my Bridges points are fair?
I think it's only valid. I think it is only valid.
Okay, and this is, again, coming from somebody who loves Miles Bridges. TJ Warren, coming off a foot injury, essentially has missed the last two seasons. Definitely a candidate for a prove-it deal. Just a bucket.
Yes, only.
28, averaged 15 for his career. Now, this is what's interesting about TJ Warren. Career 35.7% three-point shooter. Fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
However, he didn't really start shooting more than three a game until two seasons before the injury. And those were his best three-point shooting seasons. So, 2018-19, he attempted 4.2, knocked down 43%. The next season, he shot 3.4, hit 40.3%. If you go check his early years, he was only shooting one or two a game, and they weren't great percentages. So when he shoots more,
yep.
And he's improved as a shooter. That was something he needed to work on coming out. But as he shoots more, his percentages are better. And I know Dwayne Casey, if they got him, would encourage him to shoot. 6'8", another guy, if they ran with a Cade, Ivy, Warren, Bay, Durin, or Stu starting lineup. I don't think people would be mad if Warren is starting, but if he's your bench guy, is your go-to guy,
yep.
That's good.
Yep.
So I think TJ Warren would be a good, prove it, give him a year to rehash his value at 28 as he enters the end of his career.
Yeah, I don't think that would take much convincing from anybody. I know that TJ Warren has sort of been on the list of Pistons fans for a while now. A while now, right?
Good amount. Yeah, I think it's been a few years, yeah. Remember, I feel like he was talked about... Wasn't he in, trade talks with... It was my second or third year. Phoenix really wanted Luke. I think TJ was there. I feel like
no,
that was,
the Luke,
tossed around.
The Luke trade was for Javon Carter.
And Eli Okobo.
You're right, yeah.
I got to go back and look. I forgot what it was, but
It was right. It was definitely those two, and then Phoenix
and
was picking
first.
Phoenix was picking 15 or something like that. Yeah, they had
I think
lottery.
The Pistons wanted no protections on the first round pick, and the Suns wanted protections, and that's why it never happened.
Right. You can slot TJ in at, I don't know, what are we? I'm not going to say multiple positions, but two spots. If you bring him in as your sixth. He's only a great scorer, only a good scorer. I don't even know that it's really a prove-it deal. He wouldn't really have much to prove with Pistons fans. I think they would pretty much immediately fall in love with him because that's pretty much everything that we would want out of...
I guess a prove-it deal, I mean, teams want to see that he's healthy before they throw, 3 years,
sure,
$62 million at TJ Warren, who will be 29 at some like soon.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where if it goes well, then it goes well. If it doesn't go well, I think we have enough guys on this team to supplement him. So not to say that his presence would go unnoticed, but I think that there's enough in terms of firepower that I think that would only be a smart deal for, I don't know, what are you going to say, $15 million, $20 million? I don't know how much you have to pay him. Not per year, I'm saying in total.
Yeah, I would think like maybe 2 years, $14 million.
Sure, yeah.
If you wanted, that might even be high for a guy that hasn't played in 2 years and has a foot injury.
I don't know
if he can move.
Can we talk about people who can't move? And I'm going to get through this without swearing, I promise. Look, draft night, we do the trade with the Knicks. We get Durin. I still just don't understand how the Knicks ended up with that pick, and I've read it three times, and I just don't get it. But the Pistons get Kemba Walker, and obviously there's this huge influx of people who are losing their minds because Kemba Walker's on the Detroit Pistons. I am here to tell you, yes, and in that moment, I was only angry. And then after the buyout happened, I saw people on Reddit, I saw people on Twitter, I saw people, someone sent me something that somebody said on Facebook, which is a vast medium of NBA takes that you just don't even want to get into.
From 8 years old to 67.
It's a wide range.
Yeah, very wide range.
And it's all of this like, oh, well, we could use Kemba. He's better than at least Corey Joseph. It's like, oh, but that's a great veteran. I'm going to tell you something. James, you always have great stories on this podcast. Can I tell you a Kemba Walker story?
Like involving you?
It wasn't about me and Kemba. It was something that one of your coworkers, I was at dinner with one of your coworkers and a employee of The Ringer. And we were at this dinner and
can we shout out Mo?
I didn't want to name names, but yes, shout out to Mo. He was telling some great stories about when he was working for the Spurs, when he's working for the Clippers, and he's telling some great Donald Sterling stories, which is a weird sentence, but he did a really good Donald Sterling impression, so it was funny.
Yeah.
And
great in the sense of showing how much of an ass he was.
Yes. Like, it was just very like, oh, wow, he was really just a bad person all the time for a really long time. He was like, yeah. But anyways, somehow Kemba Walker gets brought up. And he was like, dude, for like 2 years, there has not been any cartilage in Kemba's knee, and it's been bone on bone the entire time. That's why his mobility has completely left him. That's why he can't move. Like, that's why. You know what happened like 2 weeks after he told me that? The Knicks shut him down for the year because Kemba Walker couldn't move anymore. So, like, look, I remember when he was in the Garden. Okay, playing for UConn. We all remember the shot. I remember who Kemba was. I remember when he put up 60 for the Hornets. I remember all of it. Kemba Walker is not that guy anymore, and it's fine.
Kemba Walker ain't walking through that door, Detroit.
And it's fine that he's not on your basketball team. I promise.
That's Kemba Walker. or I need a Walker. I need a Walker.
I really want people to just leave that one alone because it was never going to be a good idea. Are we paying that this year or did Troy stretch it?
That hasn't been decided yet. The plan is to buy him out. I don't know if they've even talked about it yet. The plan is to buy him out.
Okay. All right.
My guess is, and they'll just get it out of the way this year. I don't think they stretch it.
Okay.
So I have one more name.
Yes.
Not the as I wrote in the piece, a cool name, but not the sexiest name. Have you read the piece yet?
No, I have not.
Okay, so these names are new to you.
Yeah, these are all new.
Taurean Prince. Hear me out.
Ooh.
Underrated, like, if you're a basketball fan, you know Taurean Prince is has been a solid rotation player since he's pretty much been in the league.
Yeah.
But, like, when you kind of, I don't think many people are, like, diving into Taurean Prince numbers. Like, I'm not. I just watch Taurean Prince play. Taurean Prince can play. Let me read you some of Taurean Prince's stats. Actually, just one. 28. Career 37% three-point shooter on comfortable volume.
Yeah.
On decent volume. Career 37%. I wouldn't have thought that off the top of my head, just had watching him. But that, I mean, 6'7". Better Tony Snell. Yeah, I mean, like a rotation guy, Taurean Prince would be cheap, I would think.
He's played on like four teams in the last like 2 years.
Want me to read you some of his like points per game and.
Well, the problem is if memory serves, it's probably all going to influx and be really weird and inconsistent, because I know his rebounding kind of fell off of a cliff, but it didn't really have anything to do with how he was actually playing, but rather the minutes he was getting. So go ahead.
His second year in Atlanta, averaged 14 a game.
Yeah.
Third year in Atlanta, averaged 13 a game. First year in Brooklyn, averaged 12, and then it's been 9, and then last year 7.3. So, like,
it was either put his... the ball in... It was either his last year in Atlanta or his first year in Brooklyn that he averaged like 7 boards a game, and that's kind of the it was, I think it was 6 or 7. That was the Torian.
That was his first year in Brooklyn. He averaged 6.
There you go. That's the Torian Prince that I think we started to know at Baylor, because those who remember, he was the one who had the quote about the reporter was like, "How do you rebound a basketball?" And he like did the whole. He's like, "Well, you go up and you grab it," and it was really condescending. And at the time, I remember being like, "Come on, dude!" But in retrospect, it's hilarious. I remember when I was younger, I felt really bad for the reporter. I was like, he's just doing his job. But the older I get, hearing people ask stupid questions, can I ask
something?
There's
a time and a place. Yeah.
Did it?
Go ahead.
Did it? I'm kind of giving you the floor here, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Did it mean nothing that they let you ask the first question at the introductory press conference of Ivy and Jalen Duren? Did that mean nothing?
Nothing to me or to them?
However you interpret that question. Because I thought that was an interesting thing to note.
I will. Can I even say? I'll say it. They came up to me and said, "I'm asking the first question."
Fuck yeah! Hell yes. That's my guy.
I think that shows they trust that I have good questions and they trust me as a reporter. So that's cool to know. And I've been there the longest.
Wearing the twos, the lows that day.
Yeah, they had just come in the mail. I was in the midst of an all nighter. I just got home, went and got my shoes out of or picked them up from where our packages go and put them on. And then the thing is, another gentleman, I forgot his name, but he writes for Basketball News. I want to say Brian. I apologize. I forgot his name. Very nice kid or young man. I'm not sure how old he is. He was wearing the Lowe's twos, twos as well.
Nice.
No, not nice. I thought I was pulling up in some the rare, like, no, people don't know Jordan wore low twos. Everybody talks about, like, Kobe was the first to wear Lowe's. This player was Jordan. Yeah. Wore low twos. He hooped in them. People sleep on that. They think it's just like, oh, they made the Jordan low in the two. No, youngins. Jordan hooped in low twos I don't know if it was a whole season, but for some games. Anyway, now so we did all this. You go ahead and rank them first, and then I want to get into something else.
Okay. I might actually pull up the story just so I have all the names in front of me.
Do you want me to read it to you instead?
I'm gonna go a little weird and unprecedented.
Can I guess your order?
Yeah, go ahead. I think I know who number one and number two. I know one through three.
Number one for you is Bryn Forbes. Nope, TJ Warren. Otto Porter, number one. Wow. Bryn Forbes.
Oh,
two.
I'm sorry. Not number one. No, you had it.
Oh, you're going last.
No, okay. No. Let me just give it to you because I can tell we're getting confused with how we're doing this. I think Bryn Forbes is number one. I think he has to be. He's the only one who I said that would be a definitive upgrade if I could. That's day and night. Not day and night, but I think that would be Bryn Forbes greater than signed Frank Jackson. And I could. It would be easy to connect that dot, right? So I'm going to go Bryn Forbes number one. Also, because he does have the Michigan State tie, just so you know, I'm being fair on the whole Gary Harris thing. I do like Michigan State players. I just, you know. Number two, I am going to go with Otto Porter.
Okay.
I really like the idea of having that kind of. We talk about how
you should let the people know you're a Warrior stan on the side amongst your other teams that you.
That was
pull
like a
out
decade ago. It was like a decade ago, and that was for a completely valid reason.
Because they're sweet.
No, yeah, it was we because all like them it was because sweet. The Pistons traded Chauncey, and I needed a team to care about. And then yes. Davidson happened, and I was like, wherever this guy goes, I'm gonna like that team. I was nine. Okay.
I'm not mad at you. Go ahead.
Number two, Otto Porter Jr. Love the center fielder. Love the Swiss Army knife. Maybe I'm overvaluing Otto Porter Jr. Number three, it has to be TJ Warren. Number four, by default, would be Malik Monk. But I think he should be.
Gary Harris is fifth?
Gary Harris is. Ooh, but I like the Torian Prince thing. So Gary Harris is six.
Wow. Gary Harris is the best player on that list.
I don't think he's the best player on this list.
Who is better than Gary Harris? Don't say TJ Warren, he hasn't played basketball in 2 years. A better basketball player. There is not a better basketball player on that list than Gary Harris. I'm not saying you should be first, second, or third. Sixth?
Trying to think of which one of these guys is definitively...
You want Cade to be worn out by January, don't you?
You know, the question was, who do I want?
Okay. It was you're right. I shouldn't criticize your list.
No, that's only my response because you're right. I can't think of anybody on that. I wouldn't say that any of them are definitively. I just think that they're all in the same tier of players that it's like they're all what? C tiers, B tiers? High
they're
C,
all
low B.
They're all most of them are specialty
there you
players.
Go.
Not most of them. They're all
like, this is exactly
they're
what I'm
all
saying.
Role players. That's they're it. All role players.
And that's it. They are all in such a weird... They're all in the same paradigm of player that is just weird and mush and ambiguity. So...
I don't think at their peaks, though, any of them were as good as Gary. TJ has a case. I don't remember... defensively...
None of them are better defenders than Gary Harris.
Yeah.
None of them are.
All right, so the last thing I want to do before we get out of here, because we're going a little long, just want to look at the payroll and
oh god,
let's figure out who do you. There's some names that are not. I just want to figure out who you think comes back.
Okay,
we have some names to discuss about. Marvin Bagley is coming back. I'm letting you guys know that right now. Killian Hayes has a team option. He's coming back. Hamidou Diallo, as I reported, is coming back. Corey Joseph already picked up his player option. Isaiah Stewart's coming back. Frank Jackson is unlikely to come back. Sadiq Bey is only making $2.9 million. That's a highway robbery. He will be back.
Yeah.
Rodney Magruder is a free agent. I think they're going to bring Rodney Magruder back. Fam, I'm not mad.
No.
Dude, I should have saw your face.
It's not about Rodney. It's not about Rodney. It's not about Rodney. It's just about I want something new and shiny. That's it. It's selfish reasons. I like Rodney Magruder. But
okay, so Saban Lee has guaranteed money. What do you think? Do you think Saban starts the season as a Detroit Piston next year?
Well, Luka's gone, right?
He is a free agent.
Yeah, he's out of here. I think Saban will be. Well, he'll be on a two-way, right?
No, yep. Those are Braxton Key and somebody else has one. Saban is on a regular contract. He just gets sent to the G League.
Yeah, he'll be here.
You think so?
I do.
7. I think I could see a world, and this is just me reporting, or this is not me reporting. I could see the Pistons giving up a second round pick to have somebody take Saban's money, or include him in a deal where they take on salary.
I don't know. I think we heard the way that DJ talked about him when we had him on the show. We've heard, you know, whenever Troy and Dwayne do talk about him, we've seen what he does when he plays. Mainly in the Cruz games, but even when he does check in for the Pistons, I mean, I think...
You mean what? No, finish that. When he does check in for the Pistons, he what?
I think he's completely fine, and I think he has a really good command of the game. No, this isn't... I'm like, making my case that Saban's going to be on the team.
I think you are.
I'm dead serious.
I know you are.
I don't know what's happening. I think Saban's going to be on the team. I think he is a good model of a... tertiary player who could be in the league for a long time, and Troy has said that. I'm sorry, Dwayne has said that about him a half dozen times, that he thinks that he's going to have like the Ish Smith type career where he's just in the league bouncing around. Which you got to start bouncing around at some point. So maybe you're right.
Possibly. I think Luka
out of here, gone. Bye.
I would think so, especially when you factor in like the front court. Of course, like he would be playing. Like maybe they bring him back just to go playing Grant, but they need. All right, hold on. Let me see how many roster spots they have. Let's figure it out. Currently, Olynyk, 1, Cade, 2, Killian, 3, Hami, 4, Corey, 5, Isaiah, 6, Sadiq, 7, Isaiah Livers, 8.
Yep.
So they need 7 players.
Okay, well, we're going to...
So Bagley's 1.
Yep.
That'll be 6.
Did you...
I think Magruder comes back, okay. So that's 5.
Okay, and then we'll have, you know, 2 free agents, so we'll just say that's
2 or 3 free agents.
Yep.
And then... maybe execute 2 in a train.
I just think it would be really funny to have all these athletic dudes down low now jumping and hopping around, and then you have Cinderblock Shoes Luka Garza running up and down the floor.
Be nice.
Trying his best, admittedly.
Yes.
Always try. Like, nobody tries always. Harder than Luka.
Nice young man and tries his best.
Yeah. So, I think he'll... No, I don't think he'll be on the team. I do think Saban will be, though. I feel okay. strongly about that. We'll talk after the show, just so we're clear that I was saying.
No, I know you were being serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any music come out?
Ooh, this new Charlie Puth, man. Lil Nas.
Did you just make that up? Charlie Puth?
You don't know Charlie Puth? See you
no,
again.
What's he do?
It's been a long day without what you, kind of my friend. That song? Lil Nas X.
Is that the one that Wiz sampled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Lil Nas X had like a BET Awards diss track come out with NBA Youngboy.
Okay.
You and I were listening to some Jimmy Cooks.
We were.
And then,
some beats. My beat Push a Ton, which you'll hear momentarily.
I might play the whole thing.
Please do.
I might just play the file, like 2.5 minutes or something like that. I might just play the entire beat.
Thank you. I liked it. I knew you would like it.
All right. Oh, dude, I watched. You're not big on movies, and I know that. And I think people know that about you now. Have you seen Edge of Tomorrow?
No.
Dude, I finally got around to seeing that movie. I've been telling myself to remember for so long, and I kept spacing it. Finally remembered. I don't know how.
What's it about?
It's basically Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt are in a war, and every time he dies, he wakes up and the day restarts. And only,
that sounds like a good premise.
And only he knows what's going on, and he has to like figure out how to like make it stop happening. And it's great. Let me tell you something, dude. I know that Tom Cruise, like, we have, like, the Scientology, like, yeah, he's weird. He's wild, okay?
Great actor.
But Tom Cruise is great.
Yes.
He's great. Yes. And I
don't think anybody would dispute that.
I texted my brother, and I'm like, dude, every single time he does a stunt in the movie, I'm like, did he actually get hit by that car? Did he actually jump out of the way of that helicopter? Because he only does his own stunts.
Supposedly, yeah.
He's great. All right, James, what else
have
you got?
Have you copped any new shoes?
No, the last ones I got were the Calabasas Power Phases for my birthday. When I was in Florida, I did get a Fear of God hat. Okay. Didn't actually.
What hat are you wearing right now?
Wearing my Los Angeles Open.
That's fire.
Which I will be back.
Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, I will be back in California at some point over the next few weeks. But I cut my lease, so the July 31st is my last day in Los Angeles. So.
Back to Midwest Nick.
Back to Midwest Nick. I'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. Back to my roots. Don't know where I'm going to be yet, but.
I have a few cops. I have two pair on the way. Actually, three, but I'm trying to cancel an order on one. I got the strawberry milk dunks, the social stat, which I already had, but they were too small. And I did. Has anybody heard of Trade Block? If you've heard of Trade Block, if you're into sneakers, there's an app called Trade Block where you post your shoes, new or used. If they're used, you have to take pictures like you would if you're selling on eBay. And you just trade with people. So I got those Cascina Air Maxes that came out a few weeks ago. I traded those and I got the strawberry milk dunks in size 13, which is what I wear, and $20. So those are on the way. I finally pulled the trigger on the, Mason Jordan 2s that just came out. Gray and orange and green. I'm on a 2s kick. I now have 1, 2, 3, 4. This will be my fifth pair of 2s.
What's funny, I almost actually sent you those 2 and was like, I might have to get these because I agree 2s are underrated. I told you 15s are underrated too, but they're just hard to wear.
Yeah. Really no, 15s are underrated. For the not, I'm when it comes to Jordans, I'm 1 through 14, the ones he played in, but 15s are actually clean. I'm not mad. And I have a pair of New Balance coming in.
Did I ever tell you? Oh, I know I told you about this. My Ferrari 14s. Went back in my sneaker flipping days, sold those boys for like $350, and at the time that was crazy, but now they go for like $600. I tell you what, I was at another consignment shop in Florida. Look, I know you said you sold your Grinches. I'm not going to make you say on the pod what you sold them for. I hope it was high. Dude, I saw a pair going, it was a size 11 for $900. And I was like, that.
Yeah, I sold mine for
$700. Oof. I mean, that's good. That's still good.
Mine were worn.
Right, 100%. I'm saying oof to 900. That's insane. But I'm still mad that I didn't get those South Korea 3s, the Seoul ones.
Yeah, those are tough. The most I ever sold a pair of shoes for was a couple of months ago. I had a rare pair, which I didn't know. My boy, who's a sneakerhead, shout out to Miles, he listens to this, hit me. The K Yao Kobe 6s, which are the pink ones, the breast cancer ones.
Mm-hmm.
However, the older model of those had the breast cancer sign. The one I had didn't have the breast cancer sign because they were supposed to come out in 2020, but that's when the stuff with the Bryant Estate and Nike went down. So they never came out. Like, I think they might have. So I had a pair of unreleased pink Kobes.
Wow.
And I sold them for $1,000.
Sheesh.
So when people are like, James, you're getting all these shoes. I usually sell shoes. I mean, those Kobes alone field like three or four pairs. It's yeah. The game. It's the new hustle.
It goes back into the
you
economy.
You invest in something else.
I'm sure I've told the story on here about me with the Yeezys and the Space Jams, that whole debacle I got myself in. I'm sure
yeah,
I've told
did.
That story.
I think yeah. you've told me. I don't know if it was on here. But
I'll make it real quick. I bought – this was so back when I was like really, you know – man, I was attacking
can
that
Can I give
grind.
You a beat while you're talking and see if we can do this?
No.
You can't tell a story while doing a beat? Right,
no, it's going to completely throw me off because I don't know what, like, I don't know where I'm going to go with the story. So the first thing that I did was I went – I actually was in like a sneaker group on Facebook, and I met a kid in Lansing, and I gave him my wool 12s and my closing ceremony 11s, the Lowe's. And I got a pair of the OVO 10s back. The black ones, though, not the white ones. There's just
that's
the black ones.
Trade.
Right?
That's a good trade.
That was a pretty decent trade. Ended up getting like $350 for the OVOs because they weren't the white ones. They were the black ones. And the New York City 10s had just come out, and they looked the exact same. Mm-hmm. And then my next thing was the 350 V2s had just come out. So I got the Oreo pairs, which is the black with the white stripe. Bought those for like... I think like $300, which at the time was insane because they were retailing for like $220. And this is when Yeezys were Yeezys, man. And they were, you know, really hard. So what I did was I traded those for two pairs of Space Jams. The problem was at the time when the Space Jams re-released, they re-released, they manufactured like 5 million pairs. So if you wanted crazy. Them, you got them, right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't thinking and ended up taking me a while to sell the first pair, got like $275 for it. So right there, I've pretty much almost made my money back. I sold the next pair for like $400, but it was like 2 months later. So eventually I pretty much like doubled my money on that. But I was stuck with two pairs of Space Jams for a really, really long time.
I mean, you probably should have sat on them both because their Space Jams are going crazy right now.
That was the money I had at the time. That's how I was making money. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel
you. Alrighty, James.
All right, brother. This was fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars. Leave a review. James, should they subscribe if they're feeling generous?
Yeah, of course they should. On your burner, which is now your actual Twitter.
I made it my burner again. It's not my actual again anymore.
Okay, I was going to say you should post your birthday gift. Post a photo.
Oh, okay, so sure,
can see
yeah.
Because we can't show it on this because I'm a horrible friend and I forgot to wish you happy birthday.
I'll tweet it as a surprise. I'll tweet it as a surprise. Should, I'll cut this out really so people don't even know what's coming and I'll tweet it as a surprise.
No, it's let the people who know the burner, they know, because it's not like everybody knows the burner. So if they know the burner, they go check and find your photo of your birthday gift that you got.
Okay, that's valid.
Yeah, it's not like everybody's gonna like rush to your burner. Like people who know. Yeah.
All right, we will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.